I'm Jess.
And I'm Amanda.
And welcome to Originality Podcast.
Welcome. Pull up a chair, sit back in your recliner.
Cozy up with a good cup of coffee.
Or, you know, maybe you're at the gym.
That's a good place.
Turn the speed up on the, what are you,
the treadmill. Yeah.
I was going to say escalator. And I knew it wasn't right. But anyways, welcome. Yeah,
wherever you are listening, settle in.
Today, we are going to dive into Atomic Habits, the book, because we love to talk about the creative process, things emotionally, mentally that might hold us back from that process, or not even just the creative side of things, but just the side of being an entrepreneur or an artist where you have to believe in yourself. And you have to run your own life.
And still show up and do the work.
Yeah.
And somehow do that self-motivated, which is so much harder than...
It's very hard.
Working for somebody else.
But I started to read Atomic Habits maybe like a month and a half ago or something. It's actually... Joseph was on the podcast a couple episodes ago, and we talked about it because it's his... I read his copy of the book, which I have right here in front of me. And it's just, I found that it was something that I need in order to move forward. And the season that I'm in right now, I needed this book because I'm just, you know, as a someone who's creative, I feel like especially our kind of temperament of like being a highly creative, inspired, mostly spontaneous individual, having good habits or bad habits can literally make or break this journey. And so I like have a list of good habits that I'm trying to form, bad habits. And actually, it's literally helped as I started reading this book. I started being able to read more because that's actually more of an anomaly in my life right now is reading, which I want to be a good reader. So I actually used the principles in this book to help me finish the book, which is super meta, but it worked. And so we're going to talk about how it's helped so far and some of my favorite parts of it. And we literally are not associated with this book. We don't have an author to come and talk about it on our show.
Definitely not.
We're not that kind of podcast yet, but we just love it. So we are literally doing this from a passion of just wanting to improve.
Yes. We are wanting to learn and grow. And I love reading books like this. I actually feel like I've read a lot, like in my thoughts on the book itself, I feel like there were a lot of illustrations or research studies that were referenced that I've actually come across in other books like Essentialism and Effortless by Greg McKeown or The Power of Habit or Unfinished by John Acuff or really anything by John Acuff. Like, because all these authors are just, they're pulling from all these different, the research that's out there. And if you're talking about maximizing your work or creativity, like this is the stuff that people are going to reference.
Yes.
And so I just felt like this book, he did it in such a concise way and didn't, there was nothing in the book that was unnecessary. It was the minimal amount. Like he referenced at one point the, like how people started brushing their teeth more societally. Culture change happened because mint was added and it, there was a refreshing reward to that habit. So it made that habit more common. And that illustration is...
Listen, it works for me.
it works. So that's in The Power of Habit, but it's like so long and so detailed and very historical. And he just like very briefly mentions it. And I was like...
That might have been a better...
I like
not
that.
Not better way, but it's... It was... For me, it's like... This is a great read because it is like it hits all of those examples and then it moves on and then it just says, these are the ways that you can form a good habit. And okay, can I be totally honest?
Yes.
When I started reading this book, I got through like the first one or two chapters And I was like, how is this going to be a whole book? I couldn't fathom that, like, there were more things to say about habit building, which maybe just means that I really don't have good habits. But I was just like, is this really going to be helpful? Or is this just going to be a book that I read and it's just like, you can do it for 12 chapters? But no, there were literal practical things, new things every single chapter that it's like, try this, now try this, now add this, now try this, now yep. add this. And it was like, oh, this is a real formula that each chapter, each step, each little bit of advice was completely practical, completely applicable. And I already have, like, I've been like waking up earlier, I've been reading more, I've been working out more consistently since I started reading this book.
Yeah.
So like, personally, I feel like it's really helping. And I can't wait to continue to, you know, implement the things that I learned.
Yes. As someone who has ADHD and severe and has worked for myself for 2 years, and just in general, I struggle. Like, I've struggled with ADHD. I got diagnosed when I was in third grade. I just struggle to get stuff done. I love books like this. Like, I am so drawn to them because of the practical things that I just would not have naturally thought of and don't come naturally to me. Like, at one point he talks about just reducing friction. Like, people who are really successful people are really efficient. It's not that they are just, they work harder. It's that they're lazier. They just are smarter about how they do things and use their time.
How you structure your life.
And I probably wouldn't have read this book, because I have read so many other books on habits, but Joseph Neville actually mentioned it to me probably back in like April, May, and was like, oh no, you need to read this book. It's really good.
Yeah, he's been on this book. That's why, yeah. I mean, like, that's literally why I'm reading it, because he mentioned it and I was like, can I borrow it? So yeah.
That's perfect. So yeah, I think what makes this book different, and maybe there's just from the other books that I've read on habits, is how he ties it into our understanding of identity. And
yeah,
becoming,
that's very early on in the book.
Yes. In chapter two, it's all about, yeah, chapter two, how your habits shape your identity. It's all about how every habit that you have, it's a vote towards the person that you want to be, the person you want to become. And, but also your habits are the most evidence towards the kind of person that you are. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes both ways. So, really the shift being more around, oh, I do this, I follow through on this habit because this is the kind of person I am, rather than, oh, I want to be this kind of person, so I'm just going to keep working harder and harder and harder to try and be this.
Right. I like how he describes it, because he says that people were more likely to stick with something if they considered it their identity. Mm-hmm. So for someone who wants to be a painter, not wants to be a painter, but like, let's say someone wants to paint more. That's an action. It's not an identity. They just want to paint more. Well, if they don't see themselves as a painter, they think that they're going outside of their identity to try and build this habit. So they're less likely to do it. But someone who sees themselves as a painter, they say, even if I haven't done it yet, I am a painter. So then when they walk up to the easel, they believe that they are creating from a place of identity. And so it's not as hard for them to do it. So for me, as a songwriter, if I believe I am a songwriter, then those notions to write songs and to go back to the journal, to go back to the piano and sit down, it's going to be so much stronger than I want to be a songwriter. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in
my life.
Yeah. Like, I'll turn into that if I keep on doing this. It's like, no. Just tell yourself, I am a songwriter. I am someone who works out. Mm-hmm. I wake up in the mornings and I exercise. I actually don't do that. But if I tell myself that that's who I am, I am much more likely to do it. And it's kind of crazy. It's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of like low key, a little bit of just like self hypnotism almost, which I think is a helpful tool. So
I think it speaks so much to what we believe, the power of what we believe about ourselves and whether the truth or the lie and the battle of imposter syndrome in that process. If I believe because I have ADHD that I am not a focused person, well, how does that play out in my life?
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or because I was never the best person at sports, I could believe, well, I'm just not an athletic person, and place that belief on myself. And that could be a huge inhibitor to like actually working out and doing the habits, forming the habits that help me thrive and help me focus and create in every other area of my life.
Yeah. Because in that like scenario, you're thinking like, oh, I'm just trying to do this thing that other people do.
Yeah.
Instead of this is what I do.
This is who I am. This is what I do. I go to the gym. I work out. It's a part of my life. And I think that for me personally has shifted in the last year. Mm-hmm. And that's been a huge part of me even being able to lose weight in the last year has been really not disqualifying myself as, oh, well, that's for other people. That's not really who, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just getting over that. Like, who even cares? Who even cares?
You're your biggest inhibitor.
Yeah. And so I think that he talks about identity in chapter 2, and then he brings it up again at the end of the book in chapter 20. And I love what he says about avoiding making any single aspect of your identity an overwhelming portion of who you are.
Yeah.
Because he talks about how, like, if you are, you know, a young entrepreneur and you place your whole identity in that and then you sell your company, well, then you do something else, you go through a whole identity crisis.
Yeah.
And just like avoiding identity crisis and also giving space for how you view your identity to be kind of flexible and pliable.
So he's not saying, so then don't put your identity in entrepreneurship. Just make sure that it's in a few different things. Like diversify who you believe yourself to be.
Mm-hmm.
I am a musician. I'm a singer-songwriter. I'm also a wife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also just someone who likes to travel. I'm a traveler, an explorer. Like, so if we take any one of those things away, I'm not left with nothing, you know?
I challenged myself recently to write out just kind of bullet points of who I know myself to be outside of who I am in relationship to anybody else, what I've accomplished, what my talents and skills are, or what I do for a living, and to like verbalize like, well, I am this, and this is the kind of person I am. This is what I do. This is how I show up in the world. This is how I experience myself, and maybe my husband largely experiences me, and the other people in my life experience some of this. But I feel like that it's getting at the core of who you are, and then everything else it's identifiers. It's things that. Yes, this is an identifier for me. This is something I can point to that makes me different than everybody else. Personality is huge language to identifiers. Yeah. What are the behaviors and the ways that we work, that the similarities and differences between us, but also what you do, your relationships, your habits, your all those things are identifiers or votes towards your identity. And identity is one of the biggest factors in actually being able to create anything or get anything done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of want to, like, we talk about identity a lot on the podcast, but I feel like there are so many practical things.
Oh, so many practical things.
That I want to pull out of the book. One of my favorite, so he talks about like certain laws of like really major building blocks of creating habits. And one of the things that I thought was just like, it's so common sense. But if you have this at the forefront of your mind as you're looking at the things that you want to do better and you think of this principle, it's like It is literally like a math equation. 1 + 1 = 2. So one of the building blocks was make it obvious. And this, so like, for example, if I want to read more, let's say I'm like, okay, I know I have time to read at the end of the day, then literally put the book on your pillow on your bed. And mm-hmm. when you get into bed, you know, like, there's the book for you. Or another one is, you know, if I, let's say I want to play the piano more, but mm-hmm. if I always have my, like, the keyboard closed, or if it's yeah. always kind of, if I have a bunch of like stuff piled on top of yeah. my piano where it's inaccessible, then I'm not going to play it, because then yep. I'm going to think, oh, I need to clean mm-hmm. before I play. And then by the time I'm done cleaning, then the yeah. day's gone, or, you know, whatever. So you need to make it as accessible and as obvious as possible.
Yeah, I loved how he worded reducing friction for
yeah.
the habits that you want to form, and then increasing friction for the habits you want to quit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so good. Like, if you want to, you know, have less soda or whatever, like, hide it in the back of your fridge and you're going to forget about it. Or, like, yeah. you know, or yeah. maybe just don't buy it. But like,
yeah, that'll reduce friction a lot more. Don't have it in the house. Then
yes.
I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go to the store to buy a can of soda.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to do that. So you've already won the battle just by not buying it.
Yeah.
An example that I think of, the day that I read that chapter, I deleted my shortcut for Instagram off of my home screen, because
mm-hmm.
I realized that I would literally pull out my phone without thinking. You know, I'm like going to like put something on the calendar, put something on the, you know, just something productive, and without even thinking, with a split second that has gone by, I am already deep in the hole yeah. of Instagram. So
real.
But the moment that I took it off of my phone screen, I would literally pull out my phone to do something productive, open it up, and my brain was wired, one, already to forget what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Instagram icon wasn't there. So what I would do before I realized what was happening, and this is all happening like in 1 or 2 seconds, like it's a split mm-hmm. second of like just not thinking, and I like wired my brain to do this. What I would do is I would open up my phone, I would blankly look at the screen, flip through like the couple, you know, I like have my apps, like I have like certain apps on one page, certain apps on the other, flip through, not see it, and then I would put my phone up. I yeah. wouldn't do what I even like tried to do. And then I would like get out of that hypnotism, and I would think to myself, what did I just do? And I had, you know, I went through like realizing that's what I had just done. I would thank myself for taking that stupid app off of my home screen. It's fine. Instagram's fine. But then I would go back to the productive thing that I was trying to do on my yeah. phone. But like, that was just such a caricature of how strong bad habits are and how literally a little bit of friction can take them away. It literally changed like half of my procrastination time, you know?
So do you have like, how do you track your habits?
I haven't started doing that yet.
Okay.
That's next on my list.
Okay.
Which is another thing, habit tracking
mm-hmm.
is what he talks about a little later in the mm-hmm. book.
So there's some different things that I've done over the years to track habits, but recently I started using the Done app again. And here, I'm mm-hmm. going to show it to you on my phone. It's beautiful.
Yeah. There's apps like this. Lyric uses an app.
Like, this is a widget.
Nice.
And then you click on it, and then yeah, I track things by week.
So you can literally just like get onto the app, you say how much time you've been spending on each of those things.
Well, I set goals by week. So I want to work out 5 times a week. So I've worked out 3 times this week. Okay. And I
and you just track it on the app.
And I literally, like, if I wanted to add, I just hit this. It's easy.
Nice.
And so I do that. And then for my work, I have focused hour on like our closet business, or focused hour on Instagram, like working on social media, focused hour on working on our finances, or focused hour on working on home or home projects.
Yeah.
So because I know how I want to divide my time from the perspective of how I use my week. And so I have goals of like hours of focus. Like I want to do like four hours of focus
on this. That's really great. Yeah.
And then I can track it and see how much time I actually spent. And it just helps me keep track of like, and it's always so rewarding to like be able to like press that little button. It's all colorful and then it like pops up and it just makes you like kind of happy. And
which is what the book talks about. It literally talks about very minimal ways of rewarding yourself, because it says that you're less likely. So you have a long-term goal. Well, you're not going to feel the satisfaction and the reward of that goal until the very end, but it's going to take some discipline and some habit building in order to get there. So you create smaller little things of, you know, satisfying, rewards, as you go along. So it could literally be just like having that visual representation could be enough, but it's like, make sure it's something, make sure it's not all just in your head. Mm-hmm. Because if there's no visual, if there's no tracking, then we're really good at making ourselves think that reality is one way and it's not. And if you have that visual representation, or he talks about in the book, having like, he has like two cups, and you start with 20 paper clips in one cup and an empty cup. And then every time, let's say I want to work out 20 times this month, every time I work out, take a paper clip from one cup, put in the other. And by the end of the month, the other cup should be full.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, it sounds like something that you would tell a 3-year-old. But let's be honest, like, it's okay, like, as adults, to use whatever works to help. There's one more thing, and we already like have to wrap this up, which is crazy. But there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about, was when you're starting a new habit. He talks about one of the easiest ways to start it, especially if it feels overwhelming, is the 2-minute rule.
Yes.
So you only do the habit for 2 minutes at the beginning. And sometimes you even decide to limit yourself to that. For me, I don't know if I would necessarily go as far as like, okay, put it down. But if I'm telling myself I want to read every day, if I say, okay, all I have to do is read for 2 minutes. Once I'm done with 2 minutes, then I'm done. Like I could put the book down. I can be okay with that. I don't have to put like this extreme crazy goal in front of myself as a beginner. Like, who does that anyways? Like, I think it's such a great concept to like, if you're gonna be a beginner at something, allow yourself to be a beginner. So read for 2 minutes, or let's say you want to be better at meal prepping.
Yeah.
Then give yourself, I'm going to go on Pinterest and I'm going to start building meals for 2 minutes, and just think about, I'm just going to think about it for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the next week you do it again, and and you just continue to build. I think it is such a great way to start a habit.
Yeah.
And it helped me get through this book because then I realized once you actually open it up or walk into the gym, or, you know, whatever, clean your house, or for me, when you quit your job, you can literally spiral into, you know, it could get really unhealthy really fast at the beginning if you don't have like structure. So I think reading this book has really helped me kind of be very self-aware in what I'm spending my time on. And just starting to like start off with some good tools and habits to move forward with. So Love this book. Recommend
so
it.
So good.
Read it. Tell us what you think. Tell us if you hate it. Tell us if there's like a certain, you know, thing in there that we didn't talk about that was like the most beneficial to you.
Yeah, because there are some really great practical tips in there, like, that were very insightful.
We skimmed for this episode.
Yes.
Like, not the book, but like we barely touched the surface in this episode. But just to say that it's so good. And again, the reason why we're talking about it is just because I think it's a great tool for creatives, especially.
Yes, so much.
Oh, it's so hard to be. Cause I just feel like being creative, like you're like, we're the kind of people that is like, oh, a butterfly, let's go explore.
I can just,
like, we're so curious. We're very curious people.
And how many creative entrepreneurs have ADHD? Like, it's actually like extremely common. And I think for me, it tends to make me feel like, oh, well, I can't do this. I need to just get a job and work for someone else, because working for myself is just too dang hard. Mm-hmm. But resources like this make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And being able to like spark ideas and put a plan in place to create structure and get in, find something that works for you, because what works for somebody else may not work for you. So learning all kinds of different ways that people do things and have been able.
Yeah. There's so many different tools in this book. Like literally the whole book is just tool after tool after tool. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, that's it for today. And I think this was such a great practical first book review for the podcast and the direction we're going in. So much fun. If you liked this episode, tell us all about it at Originality Podcast and follow us at Jess Loves Personality.
And Amanda Victoria Foster on Instagram. And like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're watching or listening, and be a part of the conversation. And we'll close with our quote that we love from C.S. Lewis.
No man who bothers about originality will ever be original. Whereas if you simply try to tell the truth,
you will be original without ever having noticed.
Until next time.
Bye.